The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Drink Aid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It is the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. It helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's sugar-free, gluten-free, low-calorie, and tastes great. Skeptical? Check out the incredible reviews on Amazon.com. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest resorts in Vegas. And, of course, you can check out the DrinkAid.com website and use the promo code HOCKEY, H-O-C-K-E-Y, to get 25% off your first order of Drink Aid.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. This is Dr. Jay Calvert, and I am here today once again with Dr. Jason Berkley. Jason, a lot going on in the NHL.
Yeah, we have a big contract signing today.
Yes, we did. And yeah. I made one little comment on one little Instagram post that spawned like 50 comments about Wheeler's contract.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you know, I think the problem is the way that the contracts are trending in the NHL today, guys want to get long-term big deals, and it's the teams that are willing to pay or can pay that are getting these players. The problem is that what happens down the road in 4 or 5 years? They have a few concussions, whatever else. These players are going out on long-term IR, and they're not necessarily able to fulfill the long-term contracts. It's right. Like in baseball when you're signing a pitcher to a 12-year deal or something.
It's not happening.
It's not happening because you know these players, the pitchers at the end are going to have no arm left, and it's a waste of a contract. So it's kind of a damned if you don't problem with this with the NHL with the way the trend's going.
Well, you know, that's like Albert Pujols just went out with knee surgery, right? He's got $90 million left on that contract. He's not going to get that money.
You put your pinky up to your lip when you say that, $90 million.
Somebody should, because that's a ton of money that he's not going to get.
Well,
somehow, they're going to screw him at the drive-through on this one.
Yes, they are going to screw him at the drive-through.
80s movie reference,
well,
right?
The word wasn't screw you at the drive-through.
Yeah, that's right. But
we need John Blue for the swearing part.
That's right. This is a family-friendly podcast.
Well, not really.
We do have a bleeper, you know, just in case.
Oh, all right. Hang on. We got Sean Gosser with us today. Also, he's going to be chiming in about some of the ongoing sagas of the NHL right now.
They do.
There are no games.
They do F you at the drive-through.
They do, and that's what's happening to Pujols. That's what's going to happen. These guys are not going to make these long-term contracts. I mean, what's going to happen with, you know, a guy? How old is Wheeler? He's 33.
Think so
he's 33, just signed what, 5-year deal. He could do that. Blake Wheeler's pretty sick individual. He's in amazing shape. He's really playing the best hockey he's ever played. But you don't know what, when you're in your fourth and fifth year of that contract, is there anything good happening for you?
Close to 38, I mean, it's rough. Anything can happen. Look what happened to Zetterberg. I mean, he's pretty much done at this point, unfortunately, and he's 38. He still has, I think, 2 years left on his contract.
But that, I mean, it's pay for play.
It's tough. Yeah, exactly my point. These guys want security, and the teams are having their hands forced to do that, and it's a problem.
It is. I mean, you would think that they have the money to do these deals properly, but really, in the end, these are businesses. They're club teams. And a club is a club. It has to make money. And so it's really the strength of the team, not the individual, that makes a hockey team work.
And how long has Blake Wheeler been in the league?
Since he's 18. Yeah. I think he was
so this is a 5-year deal at the end at the 15th
nine,
year of
the back nine of his career.
Yeah, he's further than the
back nine. You're at their 15th year. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. He's played a lot, but he is playing his best hockey. I mean, Winnipeg is one of my favorites for the Stanley Cup this year. I think Winnipeg and
Toronto,
Tampa.
Toronto.
I don't know about Toronto. I want to talk about Toronto a little bit. You know, it's definitely a team that comes up for me as a team that's going in new directions. And I do see that they've signed some big contracts this summer also. But today was Blake Wheeler. We did talk about Nate Schmidt on the last podcast, which is, you know, still floating in the air right now. And I'm sure there's going to be more developments in this. But I, you know, after our conversation, Jason, I thought about it. It just was all wrong the way I just don't like the way they went about it. I think that they took a situation that should have been contained and made it into something that's, you know, much more, has more of a feel of a, as like,
well, kind who do you blame? Do you blame the NHL or do you blame the NHL Players Association for not really negotiating that part of it? A little more strict, a little more confidence, confidentiality. And a little more tact when it comes to these situations.
I agree that, you know, they should have maybe thought about this, but like the NHL is the one with all of the power and nothing to lose, and they gain nothing and they lose nothing by saying, "Oops, we screwed up. Sorry, you can go play now." If they do happen to have screwed it up, so I feel like they need to be the ones that are more cautious, because at the end of the day, it's your league. Don't you want a nice, bright, shiny league and not full of all these, you know, people sticking needles in their butts? Like,
well,
I mean,
that's
bad
point
for you too. So you better protect your product.
But the problem is that based on what we've been told, on limited information, I don't want to rehash, you know, the previous podcast, but we don't know the substance, we don't know the actual amount they found, and we don't know if the second sample was tested.
And we should know all that.
Well, and also from what Nate himself has come out and said, that they found a trace amount of something that he never purposely put into his body. So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered still, and we don't have all the information. And I think it's inappropriate to sit there and now you've basically dragged this guy's name through the mud and have ruined his reputation without really all the facts. And
even if he does get exonerated, you know, his name is still, there's still some people that are going to be like, well,
right,
really,
but we don't have that information.
We
so
don't.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
And we don't know
speculate.
All the internal policies. I will get those internal policies because I want to know. And I'll definitely ask the people that I know in the league who can help us with that so that we can better understand it. But, you know, as we've learned from Lauren, our amazing PR person who handles a lot of athletes all around the league, that the NFL would have handled this totally differently, and they would have gone through a process where it would have been, you know, kept under wraps, confirmed, you could appeal it, you could go through a whole big process before it gets slammed on you. From what we understand from the news, this was just dropped on Nate Schmidt like a bomb.
Yes.
And that, I think, is really like, just, it's just not right. I mean, I don't know. It's a really bad situation for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well,
it's a bad situation
for the NHL.
It's 100%. A bad situation for Nate Schmidt. It's a bad situation for, you know, his family. It's all bad, and it doesn't even sound correct. It sounds like there's scientifically a problem that we need to get to. Anyway,
yep.
That was the last podcast. This podcast is about the top 50. The NHL Network's top 50 NHL players right now. They released players number 41 through 50, and I think we need to kind of look at the list this year, compare it a little bit with last year, and see where they're going with this, because I'm not sure, you know, coming up with the top 50 is hard. There's a lot of players that are really great.
Here's the problem I have. When you're putting,
you got a lot of problems.
I have a lot of problems.
So we know that.
That's for sure.
So this is not the problem that you have. This is one of the problems that
one
you have.
One of the many. But when you're looking at a list like this, okay, and I'm not a fan of lists unless you're going to really separate the players out and by who they are, what they do, and everything else. But how do you compare a goalie with a defenseman?
Or how impact to the team, impact on
no,
the league,
no,
impact
no, no.
to results, impact
stats,
to winning.
Different stats. I mean, it's a whole different thing. You can't say top 50 players. What's the inclusion
yes, you can.
Criteria?
I can say that. Anybody can, because what you're talking about is who are the best players
it's,
in the league?
You know, it's talent and value. Yeah. You know, it's kind of that. That's what.
But what's the
is involved in being
what's
a top
the comparison?
Player.
What are they using numbers?
Well, they clearly are.
Stats?
They probably are
because
using
I'll tell you
a combo.
This last year's list to leave Giroux off. blows this the legitimacy of this completely out of the water.
Giroux is not on the top 50 from last year.
No,
I mean, how could that be? He's a 100-point getter.
I'm looking at it right now.
Who made this list?
Look at. Okay, I'll read them for you. Last year, this is last year's list. In descending order, starting with number one: Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Erik Karlsson, Patrick Kane, Malkin, Brett Burns, Carey Price, Auston Matthews, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Holtby. You can go look at, you know, that's 10.
Right.
I think it was Duncan Keith, Tyler Seguin, Brian Getzlaf. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Roman Josi, Chris Letang, Patrick Laine, Marchand, Jamie Benn, Ovechkin, Tavares, Stamkos, Ryan Suter. I'm on the list from 41 through 50 right now.
Got it.
Panarin, Kopitar, Eichel,
Draisaitl,
and there's no Giroux.
Right.
I'm telling you, these lists are of no legitimacy, and if you want to put in there the top forwards, the top centers, the top defensemen, top goalies, fine.
Well, they do that too, and that's where you can do statistically. But this is really who the NHL Network thinks. And by the way, you know, they're just people that are working at the NHL Network too. They're not computers. They're not going by just stats on this. And by the way,
that's
I agree.
How guys are drafted neither.
Giroux
are drafted for intangibles all the time.
Listen, I agree with you. Giroux is one of the top players in the league, and that's we could go all day long about why I think the Flyers are going to have a banner season this year. They are going to kick some serious butt. And Claude Giroux is a big part of that. And by the way, they just got JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, back to the Flyers. You've got, you know,
JVR wasn't on the list, by the way.
Where would you put Claude Giroux?
He's a top 20 player.
A top 20 player.
Yeah, but last year's list.
Okay, hold on. Let's look at last year's list, too. Continue. Is Blake Wheeler.
Top 20. Number 20
is Blake Wheeler on.
Is Steven Stamkos. You're saying he's better than Steven Stamkos.
I think Stamkos is better than number 20.
Than Gerard?
No, I'm just saying I think that.
No, let's start with where it's at. They got him at
20. Doesn't make any sense.
Do you think he's better than Steven Stamkos?
I don't think Marchand's a number 12.
No, and I don't think Drew Doughty's number 13.
Unless you're including licking as a stat. Then yeah.
By the way, he never got a penalty for that.
No, he didn't.
No, that's a felony crime that he committed on the ice of battery.
Right.
And he didn't even get a penalty for it.
Wow.
And Nate Schmidt, you know, has, you know, something in his urine or his blood that he doesn't even know how it got there, and he's got a 20-game suspension. It's odd.
I know.
All right, so let's go back to this, because I agree with you. Let's check last year's list first before we even get into it. What about Blake Wheeler? I wrote today on that, the thing that got this going crazy. Okay, good. Blake Wheeler should be on there. And number 38 is probably about a good spot for Blake Wheeler. Is Shea Weber a top 34 player?
No.
Number 34.
He's number 34, but he's not a top 50 player.
He's not a top 50 player last year.
I'm a little biased because I just dislike him immensely. After slamming Zetterberg's face into the glass.
Yes, he did.
Four repeated times and not getting a penalty for that, which is like basically out of the Three Stooges.
That is true.
So, you know. Without the sound effects.
You can do the sound effects. We're happy to hear them. Yeah, I know you can do them too, by the way.
Well, that's not happening here.
Now. Come on. Let's hear it.
but I mean, that's, you know, but you're looking at some of these. I don't know. Again, I don't know what criteria went into this list. It doesn't make any sense.
Let's hack the criteria and let's get to this year's list, because the top, they released 41 through 50, and number 50 was William Karlsson. For the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's reasonable.
I agree. But
he's definitely a top 50 player.
He's a top 50 player. What about Matt Barzal at number 49?
I think that's very low for him.
He should be like a top 30.
Yes.
I agree 100%. That guy is
And honestly, I think without Tavares now, I think his role is going to go up even more so from there.
He's not going to last long on the Islanders.
Again, if they use purely numbers on this, some
defensemen would be left completely off.
It's not that. The problem is that some guys are in a position where they're in a certain offense where they're told to play more of a two-way game, less numbers. I mean, I don't know what this...
It's about who are the best players in the NHL right now.
I'm this whole list is under protest with me.
Of course it is. That's exactly what I would expect.
Okay, number 48, Philip Forsberg. I think 48's a little low for him, but I'll take it.
What about Dustin Byfuglien at 47?
No way, he's number 47. And he was 47 last year. This guy
He's a dominator.
He's a behemoth, okay? He is a freak of nature on the ice. He is out there dominating the defense.
29, 30, somewhere in there, Dustin Byfuglien.
I'd say at least 30, top 35.
Okay, you'll go 35 on Buffalo.
Yes,
I'd all right,
say at least.
So he's off by 10, 12 points. What about Klingberg of the Dallas Stars? Is he number 46?
I mean, I don't have an opinion on that one. I think it's a little low, but again, it's they look at some of the other guys that are going to be higher up on this, and you can say, well, they fit right in. So
I think Klingberg's appropriate in the 40s, if on the list at all.
Now, Eichel's dropped from last year.
Yeah, well, Eichel didn't have a banner season
last
year.
Well, it's also, but look at the team he's on.
I understand.
He doesn't have a banner team.
But, you know, the point is these guys have to make the team happen half the time. That's part of what they're there for. That's why they're franchise players.
Well, he's going to listen. He's going to have a little more support now with the generational defenseman on his with Dahlin on his team. I think there's going to be a little more. And they made some other moves. I think Buffalo's not going to be as bad as everyone expects them to be, or at least how they were last year.
I think they're going to be bad. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. I think they have a very... They have not made any crucial moves. They haven't done anything that's going to make them any better. They do have great players, but they don't work as a team. They don't gel. They don't have any magic. I don't see Buffalo doing well. I had high hopes for them last year. I thought Jason Pominville would have come from the Wild and really helped out Jack Eichel. I thought Oposo would have had a better year. I thought they would have had a whole lot more going on, and they just didn't. And Jack Eichel has to... He's got to elevate his game, and he's got to get the people around him to elevate with him. And it's not great looking in Buffalo right now. Pastrnak, what do you think about this? Boston Bruins, number 44.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. I mean,
yeah, I'm or not on the list. 44 is as high as I'd put him.
Again, if this is gonna be the same list and Giroux's not on it, I question the whole thing. But
Giroux better be on it. He had a 100-point season last year.
So next you have two goalies right in a row.
Right, Pekka Rinne
and
then
Fleury. And is Fleury just a flash in the pan this season because of how Vegas did? Or is he really going to be a top 42 player in the NHL right now? Or
yeah,
does
he
have one good season?
No, I had to think for a minute. That's why there was a moment of silence.
He was starting the year before. He was on his way out.
I understand that. He killed it last year. They got to the Stanley Cup final.
I understand that, but does that mean he's automatically overall a top 42 player?
I think he's... I do. I think he's a 42 player. I think Pekka Rinne is a 42... I mean, he won the Vezina Trophy last year. Well, that's the best goalie in the league. He should be on the top 50 list, at least.
So he's behind Fleury, though.
Well, Fleury's better.
Well, but...
He played for the Penguins.
Oh, you know what?
Dude, you're way too serious, man, over there. You think this actually matters?
This list, I'm taking this very personally.
You've taken it so personally because Zetterberg's probably not on it. That's why.
Because
he probably should have been in the 40s.
There's no red wing on this.
I bet Zetterberg's not on this list.
Well, I mean, if he's not going to play this year,
but I bet he's not on. He wasn't on the list last year, was he?
There wasn't a red wing on the player on the list last year.
That's why you're so upset. Mm. You just didn't say it.
Here it is.
What, am I in therapy now?
Yeah, you are. I can tell. You need to listen. Your issues are going to have to come out on the Dr. Hockey podcast.
You will be proud of me, okay? I canceled my NHL TV subscription for just a single team and got the entire league now.
Yes, now you're talking.
Okay,
I am proud of you. There you go.
In spite of the fact
therapy is working.
I won't be watching as many out of my region teams, if you will.
That's good, though.
But I did expand to include the rest of the league.
You know what? That's progress right there. I think that says a lot right there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everybody say good job, Jason.
Good job, Jason.
Yeah. Nice work. So, yeah.
I'm multitasking, by the way. I also have my friends doing my NFL fantasy draft in Michigan, so I'm keeping an eye on my team.
Well, you know, that's not hockey, so we don't...
I know.
Really don't count it, really. I mean, there's no fantasy in football these days. It's just... By the way, speaking of football, did you see that Nike took on Kaepernick as their lead dude for all their stuff? It's a big deal.
I would not discuss the topic as it may get too political here.
Ah, there you go.
I'm not saying either way.
Did you burn your socks, Jason?
No, I'm not saying either way. I have my Nikes on right now. I'm not saying either way. I just am avoiding the topic.
Let me just say flat out,
that
shit's some ridiculous stuff. You bought $13 pair of socks and you're going to cut them off or burn them or whatever. You're idiot.
Who's doing
flat
that
out.
People are burning socks.
Yeah, there's some
shoes.
People that are like that,
really over Kaepernick
cut off the Nike checks off of his socks.
Wow.
Because
it's serious.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
It's the same thing as the burning the jerseys, and now we got the development from the burning the jersey. Now the last like eight players, big market players that have gone to different markets. Now there's the cheesy, oh, I'm gonna burn it. No, I'm gonna put a thank you note on top of it. Thank. I just, it's the most like stupid thing ever.
I think, you know, the fans are, you know, some fans really have different ways of
people
expressing
just want
themselves.
Attention.
I think in general, the problem with sports overall
they
is
just
that
want
there's
to go viral.
Well, no, I think that the problem is that there's no team loyalty anymore. You don't see a guy that might say to himself, you know what, I'm on a great team. We got a great thing going on. I'm going to take a bit of a pay cut to stay on this team and win a cup.
That happens the time. Malcolm Jenkins just restructured his contract just right now. Tom Brady has restructured his contract about 15 times. People restructure their deals all the time.
You just don't hear about it.
My point is it's a very rare thing where guys will take less money to stay with a winning organization.
Well, I mean, that as I've said before.
$15 million less of on a deal if that's what you thought you were worth?
If I've already made my money and I'm in this now to win, the answer is yes.
It's easy for you to say.
100%.
Sitting here in scrubs.
If you look around some of the teams, some organizations attract lifetime players.
Yes.
Detroit is one of the teams.
Yes,
and
it does.
I can name, you know, how many people off my top of my head that played their entire careers, whether they're Hall of Fame or not, played their entire careers in a Red Wings jersey.
That is a very classic Red Wings.
There are some other teams also that attract that type of talent. Montreal to some degree. Okay.
Boston
to some degree.
Yeah,
okay?
Boston is one that comes to mind.
Yeah, but in general, the Rangers, look at King
yep.
Henrik. Okay, so he's not going anywhere.
No. And, okay. And those other guys
probably
say
that it's
going.
Always the players that have this decision, though?
It's not a matter of that.
It's not always the players.
DeRozan just got shipped off of Toronto after being their
that's
well,
my,
right.
Well,
my
their
point
hometown
is, but
guy it, for the whole time, and he was pissed that they let him go.
But in general, if there are some players that are synonymous with the team, that if the team gets rid of the player, it will be the fans that revolt against the team. But if they know that it's the player that wanted to leave and everything else, it's a different story.
Well,
listen,
I think
the Wings
point,
almost wanted to trade Yzerman for a while. There were trade rumors about him swirling all the time before Scotty Bowman got there, and then things changed and calmed down. So it can happen, but my point is that by and large, there are some teams that attract that lifetime talent, and that means something. Because then you don't want to have to be buying 50 different jerseys, you know, for players that come in for a 2-year or 3-year contract, and then like they leave, and then you feel like a schmuck wearing the jersey to a game when the player's on the other team. You know? That's
yes,
an awful feeling.
That is not good.
Although, I did throw my Brendan Shanahan jersey in the trash chute when he left and went to the Rangers.
Did you film it?
No, there wasn't much internet back then.
Yeah, that would have been a good
you
one
were,
to
what,
have
middle
on.
School back then, buddy?
I'm not sure.
Cruising around on a skateboard.
Your
yes,
voice
was
just changing around that time.
That's
so.
Right.
Yes, it was.
Well, let's bring on our Skating in Stilettos podcast.
You don't think there's too much testosterone brewing here right
no,
now?
No, I think it's
just
time.
Too pissed off today.
I know, he's so angry.
Anything.
He's an angry elf.
Well,
I
was in a heated discussion with my friend about the Kaepernick situation. I'm not saying which way, but I was in a heated discussion with my friend earlier, and so it's kind of carried over.
I'm not saying where, but I was mad.
There's nobody.
No, I'm saying as far as our discussion, we were in a heated discussion about it.
That was a great move by Nike. It got so much attention. I mean, I think mm-hmm. they got exactly
what
they wanted.
Remember, they said there's no such thing as bad press.
That's right. Let's get Christy Flannery on, and we'll redirect our conversation there in just a minute.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, y'all. Let's take a break from the show so we can tell you about our sponsor, Indochino. Indochino it's Indochino.com. This is a company that makes custom menswear. And the way that they do it is you can go to their website or you can go to one of their showrooms. But for all intents and purposes, you can do everything on their website. They will make you a custom suit for $359 with the promo code Dr. Hockey, which you use at checkout. If you would like to get a suit that is fitted to you, it's built for you, You'll go to the website. You'll put your measurements in. You'll need a tape measure, I would assume. And you would then send those measurements into Indochino. And they will, and you pick your finishes, you pick the color, whatever you want. And normally these suits are about $750, which is still incredible. But with this promo code, you can get a $359 custom premium suit sent to your house, your apartment, wherever you live. Box. I don't know where you live. But wherever you live, if you have a shanty, a tent, I don't care. Wherever you want, it will be sent to you. And you will look good because it will be custom fit. It's not an off-the-rack suit, so it doesn't have to be fitted to you. It's made for you. Indochino.com. You can also go to their showrooms. There is one in Los Angeles. They're all around the country. I highly recommend you check out this company and see what it is that they can do for you so that you can look awesome in a suit that actually fits you. So go to Indochino.com. You're going to get a 50% discount at your checkout by using the promo code Dr. Hockey, and you will get a custom suit sent to you for $359. I don't know where else you can get a suit for that. The shipping is free. This is an incredible deal. It's for the listeners to the Dr. Hockey podcast because the promo code is Dr. Hockey, DrHockey, Indochino.com. Do it now. All right, we are on with Christy Flannery of the Skating in Stilettos blog. It's a blog, right, Christy?
Yes.
And do you have a podcast also that I haven't listened to?
No, but I really want to start one because I love doing yours.
Oh, good. Well, you know, we'll come on for sure. It's by the way, it's a ton of work. So if you get into this deal, we really put in a lot of time and effort on it, but it's a lot of fun, and we've had a great time with it.
Well, you do more. I actually just ride your coattails.
I mean, Jason, you know, he's sort of a slug on the prep, but he really delivers when it's time. Now we're having a good time with it, and we were just looking at the NHL Network just released the first round of the top 50 players. They released players 41 through 50, and you know, I heard you say how is Taylor Hall not on it? Well, we don't know that he's not on it, but he definitely wasn't on it last year. Because I don't know that he was a top 50 player last year. I mean, obviously the year before, because they ranked it based on 2017 to 18. But I think he's going to be on it. I bet he'll be on this top 50 right now that they're presenting. What do you think?
I would hope so.
Jason, what do you think?
I agree. But like I said before, and I was actually angry about it, that Giroux wasn't on the list last year.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, I mean, again, I question lists like this. I question the criteria, what it takes to be on a list. I don't know how you have a list of a goalie and with a forward. I mean, what designates being on this list? That's what I have a problem with. But if they're going to go with caution to the wind and the top 50 players without any criteria, then I think Taylor Hall's got to be on the list too.
What do you think about your Devils for this upcoming year, Miss Christy? Are they cup contenders?
I think they're going to make a wild card spot again. I know that the Metro is a difficult division, obviously, with three of the last Stanley Cups being in that division. But the only real loss we had this season was Maroon. And he was good, but I don't think he really was a difference maker in the postseason. Granted, they only played five games, but he's not a big loss to me.
Well, they had somebody who I thought would have been a major asset in the upcoming season. He went to the Coyotes. They had Grabner.
See, I thought Grabner did nothing as a Devil.
He did.
I was disappointed because even I said, oh, great, like his speed, he'll be a good complement to Miles Wood. And he was – I didn't even know when he was on the ice.
Yeah, he didn't impress me.
No, that was not a good spot for him.
No, and I think that's why they moved him, because he didn't perform well with the Devils. But this is a guy that I think if they'd hung him around a bit more, he could have done something. But in this free agency world where they just kind of, you know, in, out, and that's that, then, you know, there is no, you know, there's no reason they were going to keep Grabner. And you know, he just did nothing. I agree with you. What about the rest of the squad?
I'm a really big Blake Coleman fan. He actually might be my favorite Devil at the moment, and I thought he really stepped up in those five games against Tampa.
Well, he should have
the main core of him, Taylor Hall. We have Nico, Will Butcher. I'm pretty confident going into the season.
And you got Brodeur back in the front office now.
We all knew that was going to happen.
Of course. He wasn't going to stay in St. Louis.
I don't even like that he ended his career in St. Louis, to be honest with you.
It's like seeing Joe Namath wearing a Rams jersey. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like, why'd you have to go and do that?
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about that, too, about, you know, team loyalty and these contracts, how, you know, there are very few guys. You know, Jason's point was that there are very few guys who will take a pay cut to stay with a certain team. And I think that that's true some of the time, but there are some players that will remain loyal and try to finish out with their
Shane Doan tried doing that, and look what happened with the Coyotes. They dumped him.
Yeah, that was not
– you know, that's terrible. So, I mean, even when you have player loyalty, it sometimes doesn't pay off. But the problem I have is that, you know, and Chrissy, I want to see what you think about this, is that these contracts we're seeing in the NHL probably in the last 3 to 5 years, and I think the Hallmark contract for that caused the problem was the Parise and Suter contract of these, like, exorbitant amount of money for multi-year deals on some of these players that either may or may not deserve it, but then they're locked in, and this is what the players want. They want that security. But this is the trend now.
But look what happened to Zach Parise. Right. He was a rock star in New Jersey.
Right.
Complete rock star. And then, granted, he has injuries and everything, but he basically fell off the face of the earth in Minnesota.
Right.
And it kills me because I said if he would have stuck it out in New Jersey, he probably would have had his number retired, would have been the captain, and would have led the team. And he went to Minnesota, and I understand his family was there, and, you know, I get that whole appeal to it. But, you know, look at his career right now.
But some of these contracts are like we're just talking about the Wheeler contract, which he's obviously a very good player, don't get me wrong. But he's 32 now, so they signed it was a 6-year deal?
I thought it was five.
Five-year deal? So he's approaching 36 to 37 years old, still making that kind of money. I mean, that's getting on the late end for a hockey player. I mean, it's not very many guys that can play until their late 30s, early 40s.
I agree with you. I'm a little confused by some of the contracts that I've seen this offseason. Because even with they signed him, and I'm expecting him to have a good couple seasons. But how old is – like, look at how old he's going to be when the contract is up.
Who was that? You cut out on us, Christy. Who did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
I mean, I think for the next 2-3 years, I think he's going to do really well.
Well, that's the problem is that these guys want the long-term security. I mean, Doughty just signed, what, a 7-year deal with, or was it 8 years with the Kings?
He's
in for good. And that was what happened with the Ducks. I mean, I got to go watch, you know, Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, who are playing out these super long contracts with no trade clauses. And, you know, are they that interested in doing the Stanley Cup at their age and at, you know, with those kind of contracts? No, they're there, they're playing, they do a great job, they make it to the playoffs every year, and then, you know, whatever they get, they get.
And losing game sevens.
Well, they got swept in the first round by the Sharks.
Right.
And so it's like, I mean, it's I think these contracts are somewhat problematic. What did you think about the Tavares deal?
We all knew he was going to Toronto. Am I right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
We all knew that that's where it was going. I think he was one of the one players that actually was worth his contract.
Yeah, well, he's going to have huge impact in Toronto.
I mean, is he going to solve their defensive woes? No, he's not going to do that. But he's at least a proven NHL star. So I think it's okay giving him that kind of money. And especially he's still young. He's going to be, I think, 28.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's got time. Yeah, he's going to
So I think that was a – yeah, I thought that was good. Even looking at Anaheim with Adam Henrique's contract.
Yeah.
I love Adam Henrique. Don't get me wrong. But is he worth that much money? He's getting paid more than James Neal, which I thought was kind of surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising. I didn't know the details of Henrique's contract, but you know, he's good and he's got some more goals in him. I bet he'll be a 24, 25 goal scorer for the Ducks this year.
Right.
But, you know,
I think there's
a lot of money.
There's an argument the Ducks wouldn't have made their postseason without Henrique, and the Devils wouldn't have made their postseason without they just wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So I understand that, but I thought that they paid him way too much for him only playing a short amount of time with that organization.
Did they give? Well, I don't. What did the Devils do with Vatanen's contract? Was it decent? Because he was a good defenseman. You know, he played well for the Ducks, but he played incredibly well for the Devils.
I mean, look at who else he was playing defense with. I mean, he was going to look like an all-star regardless, because our defense is just a little. It's not really doing too well right now. I don't even know if we did anything with his contract, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, Vatanen's he's a gamer. We love, you know, my wife and I sit right by the penalty box, so we watch a lot of the Ducks' defense. You know, we get two periods of it, and you know, Vatanen was a good player, and he really did make a difference for the Devils. I think he was key for them getting to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, because we have Andy Green, who's at the end of his career. I think us losing Moore was a good thing. I wasn't really that big of a Moore fan when he was on the Devils.
Yeah, I could see that.
And the rest of them are all young. I mean, I think Butcher, I think he's going to be great. I think give him some time, he's going to do really well. Severson, I think he can handle a certain amount of minutes, but I wouldn't say he's ever going to be like a Carlson or anybody to that caliber.
No, but he's solid, and he'll make the difference. Especially you've got Big O coming up next year with Nico getting his game in check, and you know it's gonna be a good year for the Devils. I think they've got a strong outlook. Especially the Rangers are going to be in a reorganization mode. That team will not be a threat in the Metro Division. I mean, you've got the Penguins. You've got obviously. Issues with Washington should be all set, and but I mean Rangers, Islanders, there's not going to be too much of the same strength that there was last year. I think the Caps are going to have not a fantastic year coming up.
Right, and I like what the Rangers did though. I like that the Rangers basically told the fans like there's a certain era that's over and we have to move forward. Like, that they didn't freak out that Lundqvist is, what, 36 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
they didn't freak out and say, okay, we need to just pull people in because Lundqvist is going towards the end of his career. Like, they kind of hit the reset button, realized that he's 36. Granted, I think they have one of the best goalie prospects out of any team. But I like what they did. I like kind of how they're approaching it. They're giving themselves the two-year window to try and work from within.
I think they'll need more than that. I mean, they really flushed that team, from Nash to McDonough, JT Miller, Grabner. I mean, they really
started Boyle.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a wholesale
like toilet flush of the Rangers. And I don't know. It's going to be those fans are not the easiest fans to play in front of, and I think it's going to be a rough year for the Rangers in the Garden.
Yeah.
I think it definitely is. Well, and I don't know what the Islanders are going to do. You know, maybe Kevin Connolly's going to put his skates on and go out there and help him himself because, I mean, they've really got nothing for Tavares.
I mean, they have a good coach, but I don't really know what he could do with the roster that they have.
They can't blame the current brass for that because they were just coming in as he was leaving.
No, I know they're not going to. I mean, Barzal, this is what everybody says too. It's like, oh well, Barzal's going to step into those shoes. Barzal is 19 or 20 years old. He's not ready to. He's not Sidney Crosby. He can't put on the C and run that team. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either.
I mean, when Crosby took over the Penguins as a 19 or 20 year old, captain, he probably just didn't know what he didn't know and led that team to a cup that he skated around in the Joe Louis Arena in front of, oh wait, Jason wasn't in there because he stepped out. I know. I'm going to recount that story. But
the second the buzzer went off at the end of the third period, I was already in the parking lot sprinting as far away as I could to not even hear the presentation.
But, I don't know why.
You're having to bring that up, don't you?
I had to. It was just right there. But Sidney Crosby, because the Matt Barzal concept of him becoming captain right now is hard for me to swallow. I think he's a great kid and he's an amazing. I haven't seen anybody skate like this guy. I've said it on a bunch of podcasts. I'm very much a technocrat and I'm all about the sports as a function of form. And this guy's form and his ability to skate is unlike any player I've seen in a very long time. His ability to score goals, make things happen, He is a definite elite player in the making. Is he ready to be captain of the Islanders with Barry Trotz coming in right now? I don't know. I wouldn't make that choice. It may be the choice that gets made. What is your opinion on that, Jason? Do you think that he will be the captain of the Islanders?
I think they're going to go with three different assistant captains for the first part of the season and see how it all pans out. They're not going to have a captain. Whoever's on the ice is going to handle all the issues with an A on their jersey. And they're going to wait for that first 20 games or so of the season to see who's going to pan out as captain.
What do you think, Christy?
I like the idea of Andrew Ladd being the captain, to be honest with you.
That's a good choice.
That would be my pick, and then give the
By default,
the two
he's the oldest
A's.
Guy on the team?
No, I always liked him, even from Chicago. He's a Stanley Cup winner. Yeah. And he was the captain of the Winnipeg Jets / Atlanta Thrashers. I just like him.
Yeah, you know, that's like, a good choice.
I like him. And he was fourth overall in his draft class. So but it's they, not,
gonna,
you know.
But are they going to want a captain for maybe a year or two, or are they going to want someone else like a, you know, like a Crosby or an Yzerman, or someone's going to lead the team at the age of 20 or 21 that's going to be there as their go-to guy, their next generational player that they're going to be able to try to keep because, you know, they blew the Tavares situation. You know, you want to have that guy that's going to they're going to have confidence in to stick around for years.
Yeah, but I think that right now he needs someone to look up to. Like, Tavares is gone. I feel like he needs a mentor at least for like a year or two before he can really jump in and run that team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you. I think he seems young to me. I mean, it's not. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe in the locker room he's you know a bull and everybody you know looks to him and he can run the show. But I mean, I don't know. I mean. You need somebody who's really going to be able to lead the Islanders because they've just been limping, you know, and all the issues that we brought up last year before the season started with Kevin Connolly on this podcast are still there. They still don't have a place to call their own. They still don't have, you know, and we had Anders Lee on for an interview, and he talked about, you know, that he thinks that with the plans for the new stadium and all the new accommodations are going to make for, you know, getting out of the Barclays Center, that it will be the franchise to be with. And he said he's for the foreseeable future, he's staying around. I don't know how it'll feel, you know, this year, but, you know, Barry Trotz coming in, I think makes that place very interesting.
Lamoriello.
Yeah. And Lou Lamoriello. That brings, that makes it a destination team for some other players.
I just feel like right now they need to kind of get stability. And I think Andrew Ladd or, like, Lee, I think that would give them their stability all the way around. Yep. I feel like throwing a kid into the mix right now, it's just shaky for me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Because, I mean, the only reason that Sid Crosby could do that is he was living at Mario Lemieux's house and basically getting daily coaching from the owner of the team, you know, happens to be one of the greatest hockey players of all time.
Chrissy, I've never seen such concern for the Islanders or Rangers from a Devils fan. That's a little worrisome now.
Listen, you will never see me in a Rangers jersey. You'll never see me in an Islanders jersey. But I like hockey.
Yeah, but you're a Jersey girl. I expected you to say the Rangers and then spit or something. You know that. You know that's what I expected you to do when their names are mentioned.
Listen, Christy's elevating. She's vibrating to a different level now. That's what's happening here, Jason. And you should take notes from your co-host and from your recurrent guest. Christy Flannery, skatinginstilettos.com.
My wife's a Jersey girl. I watch Jersey Shore. I know people from Jersey.
I am from Jersey.
Yeah, and I know how
hardcore.
You are.
Hardcore.
Yes. Yes, hardcore Penguins fan. But I just, you know, I have a friend who's a diehard Islanders fan, and he just, any momentum whatsoever that the Rangers will get or anything like that, he just rails against the Rangers like you wouldn't believe. So I'm a little surprised to hear that from you, but I'll let it go.
Don't get me wrong. When I see Lundqvist get really aggravated in a game and like throw his stick, it makes me really happy.
Okay.
It makes me so happy. But I've gotten into it with Flyers fans at that arena, and I've gotten into it with Rangers fans.
I'm surprised you live to tell the tale after Flyers fans at their arena.
I know all security at Prudential Center. Oh. I'm friends with all the security guards, so I'm pretty set there.
There you go.
I would never try that outside of my home.
Oh, I thought you meant you did it in Philly. Okay, yeah, that's a little safer.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm planning on going to Philly, and I'm not even wearing any gear.
No,
I'm just going to go sit there and just take it in.
Keep a stone face.
Yeah, I'm not trying to Yeah, I'm not trying to get into a fight in Philadelphia. I'm not trying to do that.
Well, I think the Flyers are going to field a pretty decent team this year. So it's going to be – it'll be a good year in that northeast corner. I mean, it'll be awesome hockey. I mean, I don't know where my, the I really don't know where the Penguins will be, but I think your Devils are going to be hot on the pursuit. They'll definitely make the playoffs, and then you know how far they'll go will kind of depend on how they gel throughout the season.
Yeah, because I don't think Schneider can have a worse year than he did of the second half of this past year.
That is so true.
I think there's only one way to go, and it's to go up. So yeah. I'm not that concerned with him. It's more secondary scoring and then how the defense is going to line up.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, don't you think that a goalie's performance, by and large, is reflective of the defense in front of him?
I mean, they steal games,
but I mean, if, in general, if he has a bad defense, he's not... You know.
Right, and then look at Brodeur. Look who Brodeur had in front of him.
Yeah, right. Incredible.
Well, he had Niedermeyer and Stevens in front of him.
Stevens,
I mean,
is a
he's a great goalie on his own, but look who was in front of him, and Danico.
Yeah,
and Oleg Tverdovsky, who's been on this podcast. Oleg won a Stanley Cup with the Devils.
Right, and then look who Schneider and Kincaid have in front of them.
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. Honestly, I'm so desperate for hockey news that I just read any article that can come up with, like I can come up with. And the one tied Erik Karlsson to New Jersey, my heart would burst into a million pieces if I saw Erik Karlsson in a New Jersey Devils jersey.
Oh,
I couldn't
it would
even
be
begin to tell
awesome.
You.
That would
Him
be awesome.
And Taylor Hall on the ice together.
I was hoping that he'd come into the Wings. They were trying to work that out, and maybe with Zetterberg out now, it could be possibly worked out.
He'll move somewhere.
I just want him to find a home. I really do. I just feel so bad for him.
He's an amazing player. He's just fun to watch and just
makes
things
happen.
Who was
it that cut his Achilles with this back of the skate? What was that that happened years ago? They went to the corner and someone brought their skate up at the back of his leg.
Oh, I don't
remember
that. No.
Uh-huh. No.
But I remember last season.
He was a Penguins player. He was in the Penguins, I thought.
Oh, sure. Blame the Penguins.
No, it was on the Penguins. I can't remember who the guy was. But Cook. It was Cook. I think Cook did it to him, if I remember correctly.
Last year at this time,
look that up.
Kevin Connolly and I were talking about Karlsson having had a chunk of bone taken out of his foot. And we're like, that's going to take forever to heal. He was back on the ice in 3 weeks skating and had a great season. So he's a pretty amazing player.
I just don't want him to go to Tampa. That's pretty much I just don't want him going down there.
What about any of the other moves that happened this summer? Anything else of note that you that took your eyes?
Yeah, can we talk about James Neal for a second?
Of course, one of my favorite players.
Was I the only one confused by him going to Calgary?
What confused you about that?
I just didn't understand why. I don't know. I found the whole thing confusing. I don't know why he stayed in the same division as the Golden Knights, and I don't really know why he left the Golden Knights.
Money. He left because of a salary cap issue, and
they couldn't keep him.
They could not keep him. They were just he's expensive. He's very good. I believe he was the default captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, and I think he'll be sorely missed. But you know, he's going to serve a great purpose in Calgary, which was a playoff bound team, and he's going to be a great guide for Johnny Gaudreau. And I don't know. I think there were a lot of reasons why that happened. To me it did make sense in a funny way. And I got to say, the Vegas Golden Knights got Paul Stastny. they really upped their offensive game right now with that move.
Well, they have 8 players now that could take a face off.
It's crazy.
Like 8 legitimate players that can take a face off.
I mean,
I read that and I said that blows my mind. That's a huge deal. You can't win the game if you don't have the puck.
That's right. And if every face off you're losing, you know, and their guys are all really strong. And Stastny is going to be good for 25 to 30 goals.
Well, I think his face off percentage is over 50%.
Yeah, he was one of the top guys. And then, you know, and Neil going to Calgary makes sense for Calgary. It was definitely a money issue. It was money driven. And, you know, I think the one thing they will miss with James Neal is his leadership, because he is definitely, in my mind, he was the default, you know, captain for the Vegas Golden Knights. He was, I'm sure, in the locker room, the strong leader. He's an amazing player. He gets it done, and he's going to have a great season with Calgary Flames.
It still bothers me that we'll never know if Vegas won the Stanley Cup, who would have hoisted the cup first? That still kind of bothers me. I wanted to know
that's a which great
player
question.
That would have been. I really did. Like, can somebody go interview those players and just find out? Because it's been bothering me all summer.
We'll get a few of them on. I mean,
would it have been James Neal, or would they have given it to Fleury? Because Fleury was the face of the franchise all last summer.
He was.
They pushed him.
It's a tough call. I bet it would have been Fleury that hoisted the cup first. But I think that just knowing who in that locker room was probably, you know, talking about the way it had to go, I bet it was James Neal. It'd be a great question to ask. I mean, one of the guys we've had on this podcast before, Jan Stastny, I think is now a scout for the Vegas Golden Knights. So we'll hit him up when the season gets going. And if we can grab March or so before they get started, I'd really like to do that, because that was one of the people I wanted to interview. So we'll see what we can do.
He had a great season.
Oh, he's amazing. Amazing.
What did you
goal scorer?
What did you think of Carlson's contract with Vegas?
It's huge. It's going to keep him around. I mean, it's a good deal.
They're saying he's number 50.
He's number 50 on the top 50. By the way,
whatever criteria that means.
But Jason's in protest of the top 50.
I'm protesting the whole list. It's all under protest.
I don't really blame you. I don't blame you.
How do you? First of all, how do you put a Vezina Trophy winner behind Fleury, because he has one good season with a fluke team? Well, he wasn't even playing. He wasn't even starting before that. Sean, pick your jaw up off the floor and listen. Okay, but how do you even include? I'm not going to rehash it. Never mind.
I'm telling you, Jason's like, he's up in arms over this top 50. It's only going to get worse as we get into.
As you get closer.
31 and 40, it's going to be awful.
Well, I think Dylan Larkin's going to be on this list. So he's got to be a top 50 player. There's got to be at least one Red Wing on this list, or I'm literally going to be writing some very sharply worded letters with some dirty emojis to them.
Dirty emojis?
You know, with the mad face.
Say it isn't so.
Yes.
Oh, no. It's getting ugly. Christy, listen, before it gets too ugly around here, we got to run, but we really appreciate you coming on, and we're going to watch the Devils closely. We'll get you back in, you know, probably around mid-season to hear how your team's doing.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Do you ever dress up like Putty, paint your face, and start screaming Devils everywhere?
No, I don't do that. I'm sorry.
Okay. I had a feeling you would do that, so if you didn't do that, I apologize for misjudging you.
Christy?
Oh, no, it's fine.
Tell us where we can catch you. Is it your website that we can
It's my website is skatinginstilettos.com, and you can find me on Instagram with the same handle, skatinginstilettos.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christy Flannery. We will talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.